an animal.
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal.
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Brought to you by your Chevy dealers, ChevyDrivesChicago.com. I mentioned the clues for, by the way, the guesses so far are really funny. Mayor Daley is coming up a lot. Dan Ponce, Dr. Most. Who else, Kev? Somebody else keeps coming up.
A lot of Cusack, the Pritzkers.
Oh, yeah, John Cusack, the Pritzkers, which I find amusing. But I get the family tie. And the family tie again, Mayor Daley.
Right. Yeah. Right. Makes sense. That would have been the first name that came to mind for me.
A lot of people weren't sure why Mayor Daley resigned when he did. Could have been a puck in his pants.
Could have been.
Turns out that's not the case. The second clue, I said a famous lifelong Chicagoan. His father was famous before him. But that doesn't mean you should call and continue to guess Mayor Daley, because we already said that's not the case. Okay.
Tom Skilling with a puck in my pants.
No, it's not. No, it's not Tom either. Dan Hampton is standing by, and good morning, Hemp. How are you?
Good. No puck in my pocket, I'll tell you that. But looks like the Packers had a four-leaf clover in theirs. So they got away with the win last night. So, hey, the week's off, and we've got the 49ers coming to town.
Yeah, you know, Dave Ennett described it really well early this morning when he sort of equated the Packers and Aaron Rodgers when he's on to Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. You think she's dead in the bathtub, then she sits up with a knife.
Hey, Mr. Cat, that's really pretty apropos, because this Packer team, they started off 6-0, and then the last six games, it's a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get. I couldn't believe I was at Little Dan's basketball game. Came out, it was 17-0 at the end of the first half. I was shocked, but you know, somehow they were able to scratch out of it. So they're, like you said, they're still in it.
So last night the Packers win late. This weekend the Bears, and frankly the rest of the schedule is pretty good for the Bears. The Bears are set up against the San Francisco 49ers team, which isn't even recognizable compared to the team that Harbaugh left last season, and certainly the season before that. They got quarterback troubles. They got issues. I mean, this is a must-win for the Bears for obvious reasons, but this ought to be a win.
It really should. You know, come on, let's be realistic. When Jim Harbaugh left, it's like they shut the place down, closed the drapes, and Jim Tom Sula was the shocking selection as the next head coach. He was the defensive line coach. And that being said, we now see who they passed over, our very own Vic Fangio, who's done such a marvelous job with our defense this year. So out of the gate, the 49ers were just a dumpster fire, and they haven't done a whole lot to prove anybody, you know, wrong. I will tell you this. A year ago, Kaepernick and Gore were the featured players in that offense, and now Kaepernick's on injured reserve. Gore's in Indianapolis, and it's a bunch of guys nobody really knows or even expects a lot from. Somebody named Sean Drawn will be the running back. He's not, you know, setting the world on fire. And Blaine Gabbert, a guy that was run out of Jacksonville, is their quarterback. Now, he's thrown for 300 yards the last couple of weeks, but still, this offense is dead last in the NFL. So, you know, hey, you got to take care of business. And, you know, apparently the Packers didn't think they had to last night, and all of a sudden the Lions jump up. So, you know, it is what it is. These kind of games are exactly what you let them become. If you don't take care of preparation and business, you'll find yourself in a dogfight.
But, you know, Hemp, the Packers going to Detroit, and the Lions suddenly have won three in a row, and they beat the Packers at Lambeau, and people are thinking, all right, Detroit has a chance to kind of finish off Green Bay here, and not that they would have necessarily been out of the playoff picture, but it would have been a really rough loss for them. The Bears now are kind of in a similar spot. They're expected to win on Sunday. They're favored in this game. They haven't been in the role of favorites. And now they're favored by like a touchdown against San Francisco. So how does that affect their mindset going into this game after being underdogs for so long?
I don't know. It'll be real interesting to see. you know, me, I grew up on gravel. I expected the worst and you know, tried to make the best of it. This team, they've had to fight through adversity. As you said, I don't think I've ever remembered a time in my 30 years or so of being around this Chicago Bear program where they have been an underdog the first 11 games. We got to do a Google check and see if that's ever happened.
Good
but
point.
This is indeed the first one they're going to be a favorite in. And how will they, you know, stand a little, you know, what would you call it? Optimism and
prosperity.
Patience. I don't know, but I do know this. All the while, you know, this Green Bay victory has been such a kind of a feel good story and all that. There's a couple of things going on with the team. Martellus Bennett is, you know, showing his backside a little bit, acting pretty selfish and pouting and causing a little bit of a rift. But it'll be interesting to see how this team is able to kind of respond and get back together. Remember, you know, that game Thursday night on Thanksgiving seems like a month ago. It a lot of things can happen in that 10 days of lag time before you get back to the field. So it'll be a lot of fun to watch this one.
Now, what Camp is describing along with what you talked about, Dave, and we'll pick this up right after traffic, is what we call in golf a PBF. A PBF is when you make birdie, and then the birdie would be the win over the Packers.
Yep.
And then you come back, and the next hole is a pretty straightforward par four, and you're playing well. You just made birdie, and you make six.
Yeah.
And you hit it out of bounds.
Yeah, you can't make six. No PBF on Sunday.
No, it's been huge. You know, some games we played well, some games we haven't played as well as we wanted to, but consistently our defense has gave us a chance at the end of games to you know, either win or for us to have a last drive and try to win the game. So it's been huge for us.
.755, the legend, the Hall of Famer, the Little Hamster. Dan Hampton's on. Hey, Hamp, what time are you guys on Sunday?
What time are you on today?
Today.
Today. We're not. There's not a game on today. It'll be on Sunday.
No, I said Sunday. Did I say today?
Oh, on Sunday.
No, you said Sunday.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought I said Sunday.
Time, you know, it's noon kick. We go at 3 till 6, yeah. And, you know, we'll probably have the CSI team in there looking for the bones of the turkeys that Kaz went through last Thursday night. But other than that, I think we should have a clean slate. We're ready to go. You know, let me just say this about Jay Cutler there that we heard in the bump coming in. You know, a lot of people go, oh, it's amazing, blah, blah, blah. You know, part of the reason Jay has been so much more of a, I don't want to say, you know, caretaker, but he has avoided those critical mistakes. It's kind of a hand in glove thing. And a part of it is the fact that the defense over the last 5 weeks, other than that one play to Demaryius Thomas, who ran for 80-yard touchdown, other than that, they've allowed one touchdown per game per, you know, outing. So I'm just saying, hey, Jay doesn't have to score 30. He doesn't have to feel like he's got to make every throw. He's got to, you know, score all these points because they're down 3 touchdowns. It's really a good kind of a place they're in where they're you know, they're just doing a lot of smart stuff and they've won some games. So, you know, winning 3 out of the last 4 anywhere, anytime it's a pretty good ratio.
Matt Forte is no longer appearing on the injury report. So you've got two healthy backs. Kadeem Carey, I guess, is back also, but you've got two healthy backs.
And a poor 49ers run defense.
Yeah, exactly. And great point. And you got Forte and Jeremy Langford both. How do you divvy up the carries where you got enough to keep? I mean, Forte's the veteran and the Pro Bowl guy, and I realize he takes priority over Jeremy Langford, but Langford has kind of kept this team afloat while Forte was hurt. So how do you make them both happy?
Well, you don't worry about making them happy. You see who's the most effective. And, yeah, the 49ers have looked porous against the run. But, you know, on any given weekend, defensive coaches can, you know, stack the box and make you throw it and do what, you know, what sometimes what you don't want to do. But I'll tell you this, you know, Matt Forte is a professional. He realizes, you know, you get a window of opportunity in the NFL. And as soon as you can be replaced, well, guess what? The younger kid comes at a lot lower price tag. So those are realities, and he knows that. But as far as Forte, he needs to make sure that the next 5 weeks he looks like the all-pro running back that that he's been here for most of his career, and let the chips fall where they fall. But you can't worry about that this coming Sunday. You've got to play who gives you the best chance of winning. And right now, Jeremy Langford has, and it's a combination of a couple of things. You know, Langford was able to give us a little more pop, a little more burst, more physicality running the ball than Forte. And with this offensive line, the way it's currently constituted with the rookie Grasso at center, they're not as powerful. They're not as adept at moving people. So, you know, I'm expecting to see Langford get at least 15, if not 18 carries this week. Most of his stuff will be inside. And Forte, he's more of a edge guy and catching the ball out of the backfield like, you know, we saw him do last year. So it's not a problem. It's not a bad thing. It's, you know, it's kind of a dealer's choice. Adam Gase has got to feel good about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get too cocky about this, but the Bears are on a nice roll, and it is the 49ers. I mean, this is setting up pretty sweet.
And it's hard not to look down the road. You got the Redskins, who are playing a little better at home, but on the road, they have just been, you know, a mess. And we've got them the next week. So, you know, you could see this team being, you know, I hate to say it, but you could see them being 7-5 and starting to, you know, start believing in themselves. And, you know, I remember a couple of times, you know, in my career, wild card teams would get hot. And if you get I remember Seattle went to the championship their first year as a wild card. The Raiders did it. It's doable. I'm not saying this team is, you know, going to the playoffs yet, but they're not out of it. And see, that's the beautiful thing about it. You control your destiny, and all you got to win. And who do you got? You got the 49ers, who look like they're pretty much lost for the year. So this is a game that we got to, you know, chalk up. And I'll start the scores. This is a game where the offense needs to be very efficient in the first half and allow the defense to turn the 49ers over a time or two and build a lead, and let's win this thing 28-10.
Yeah, that's a good number. Dave?
27-10.
What are you, we're trying to win the refrigerator freezer in the showcase showdown?
No, that was already the score I had in my head.
Okay. I don't know, Hamp. That sounds
He's expecting you to help carry that refrigerator.
Yes. I got a little lower scoring action, but also a blowout. 16-3 Bears.
That's a good one. Hey, and guys, remember, a lot of times, you know, after a win like the Packers on Thanksgiving night, there was such a euphoria, and they're saying, and you know, your analogy to golf is perfect, Steve. You think, oh, wow, you know, I birdied that hole. I'm Jack Nicklaus. And the next thing you know, you got a 7. So this is kind of a good place for a veteran coaching staff to be with this team, to be able to get them refocused. Because trust me, the 49ers don't like where they're at. They've got 2 years ago, this team was in the championship game. They still got a lot of pride. They're not going to come in and lay down. They're going to play hard early, but we got to kind of ease them across the threshold, if you know what I mean.
Do, and have a great time on Sunday. Don't hurt Carm too much, but rough him up a little bit.
No worries. We'll take care of it. Thank you, guys.
All right,
go Bears.
See you.
That's Dan Hampton.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
.9 44 now, and we continue with our friend Adam Hoge, who's writing what on his Bears blog this week?
I am writing about, let's see, I wrote the other day about the accountability, basically how they've turned this whole thing around, what John Fox and the coaching staff has been preaching.
And it's been very impressive.
It has been very impressive. And See if they can continue it on this week. For the first time, they're favorite. They're the favorite in the game.
Before
and not
we,
just a small favorite, but a
significant
full
favorite.
Touchdown.
Yeah. Before we, and that's a lot of points in the NFL. before we get to that, though, let's back the truck up to last night a little bit. If you're the Lions and you've had a disappointing season by any measure, regardless how the last couple of weeks have gone, and you're up 20 to nothing midway through the third, and you lose on a penalty, rightly or wrongly called, and an Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary that's the longest in NFL history, Jim Caldwell has been fired, or are they waiting till noon?
That defense on that Hail Mary
was
completely inexcusable.
Why not put
Megatron back there?
Put everybody back there.
Yeah, but, I mean, he catches everything in the end zone.
There's only one play. I've never understood why the NFL doesn't put 11 guys in the end zone. There's one play.
Well, the Bears kind of do that, don't they? I mean, when they have a situation like that, they put everybody back.
They do it when the other team's at the 30 yard.
Yeah.
This explains everything. Jim Caldwell said after the game that they were expecting a lateral play, not a Hail Mary.
Oh, stop.
So
then you have to fire him.
Yeah,
you have to fire him right now.
That in the NFL,
I'm going to hold. You fire him.
I'll go fire him.
Yeah, I'll hold.
look, not only do they not have Calvin Johnson on the field, which I agree with, by the way, he should be out there. You rushed three guys that didn't contain the quarterback. That's problem number one. You can't let Aaron Rodgers get a running start into a 61-yard throw that he could probably make on his back foot already.
Yeah, that's a good point. So let's rush four guys and let's put seven guys in the end zone.
You still have the numbers there, except then your secondary is all playing the back half of the end zone. Yeah. It's like they realize that it's the goal line that creates a touchdown, not the end line.
Yeah, unbelievable.
They're guarding the wrong line, and then I don't know if you saw the zoomed out view. There are two Lions players standing in the middle of the field, nowhere near anybody.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, Packers win. The Bears would like to be chasing only the Vikings as the Packers continue to wither away, but frankly, that didn't happen. So take care of what you can take care of. You got the 49ers. This is a must win because you want the playoff run to continue, but it's a must win to continue the growth of this team. You can't lose this game.
No, you can't. And this is one of those where you see how they handle some success for the first time this season. Coming in, you know, most of the time they've won a game and then they've immediately been the underdogs again and had to play that role. And it's a different mentality when you come in against a team like the 49ers that are playing poorly. They're not very well coached. Sean Drawn is their running back right now. He was with the Bears last year and got cut on a very bad Bears team. So the running game, he stepped in okay, but this is an area where the Bears have actually struggled the last 2 weeks in stopping the run, and they should be able to improve that this week. And then offensively, you know, despite winning that game in Green Bay last week, they had a ton of problems, and they need to improve those problems and make it look a little bit more like St. Louis a couple weeks ago when they dominated. That's how Sunday should look. I don't know if it will, but that's what it should look like.
If there is a hole that the 49ers could exploit against these Bears, what phase of the game concerns you?
Oh, special teams still.
Yep.
I mean, and I made the prediction on the podcast we do every week on WGNRadio.com that I don't think the Bears defense is going to allow a touchdown this week. And maybe that's a little bit bold, but that's the 49ers offense, especially when they go on the road. They're not very good. The problem is, can the offense be consistent enough to take advantage? And can special teams just not screw up? Because this special teams unit for the Bears is still continuing to give up big plays, and they very well may give up a touchdown, and that might keep the 49ers in the game. But if those other areas are, you know, at least respectable, then I think the Bears' defense certainly gives them a chance to win this game and probably more.
So if the special teams end up giving up four touchdowns, we're in trouble. Otherwise, we look good.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I got 16-3. I think it's low scoring.
I think I said 27-10, and Hamp had 28-10.
Yeah, how about that move?
20-6.
How about that move, Adam? Hamp goes 28-10, and then Dave follows with 27-10.
I had it written down.
I
mean, he's looking
Price is Right.
Yeah, exactly. He's looking for a beatdown.
Steve, it was written down right here.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it better. Okay. And Adam, what was your score? I missed it.
20-6.
20-6. Yeah. Well, you're going to be there, right?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there.
Yeah. And
bright and early, Sunday morning.
And then I am out next week, so will Adam be on Monday morning?
Absolutely, if he's up for it.
Okay. Let's book him right now.
All right.
Well, I mean, you're not doing like Steve Harvey's show, are you?
No. No, they haven't asked me yet.
Okay.
If we didn't put him on, it'd be like Martellus Bennett. Next week, he'd be kind of pouting.
Then he would do Steve Harvey's show. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Martellus and I have a lot in common.
Well, I know that people confuse you often.
Yes, all the time.
Before we go, there's a weird thing that goes on in preparation, the media preparation for the games that I was not aware of.
Yeah.
And you were talking to Kevin about this off the air. So tell me what this thing is.
So it started with Rich Campbell from the Chicago Tribune. I guess this is something. He came over from the Washington beat in Washington, D.C., and they, I guess, did this out there where every week the opposing head coach and one of the players does a conference call with the visiting media. So this week we talked to Jim Tomsulo, the 49ers head coach, and Navarro Bowman, one of their players. And the Bears do the same thing with the 49ers media this week. So at some point this season, we just started doing this thing where we just give a nice, warm, loud greeting on the conference call and just kind of see how the opposing head coach and players react. So I believe Kevin has the sound. This is what it sounded like this
week.
You
want Tomsulo or
Yeah,
Bowman?
Tomsulo. Give me the coach.
Yeah.
Hello there.
Hey, Coach Jim. Hey, Jim.
Hello.
Jim, what did your defense do better against Arizona last week?
Just the concept of total team defense. What was the hello about? That was cool.
We just like to greet the coaches warmly on the teleconference.
It's a tradition.
Yeah, that's why Ditka left Pittsburgh and left Chicago. So
There you go.
All right, and who else do you have? You got another one?
You have Navarro Bowman, right?
Yeah, you ready? Here we go.
Okay.
Navarro?
Yeah.
It's just the oddest thing.
Oh, weird.
It's just the strangest
thing.
Because that's my favorite one.
There is an unwritten rule that you can't cheer in the press box.
Right.
You can't make any, you know, you're all supposed to be sour-faced professionals.
Right.
It's just a very weird
thing. It's actually a written rule in many press boxes.
Is it?
Yes. So it'll say no cheering in the press box. This isn't the press box, and this isn't necessarily cheering for the team. This is, greeting him.
But we're just being nice, Steve.
No, is it kind of mocking them, and they don't know they're being mocked?
Well, it depends. Some of them take it, I don't know if they take it as nicely as the 49ers.
Oh,
weird. Yeah. We, last week with Julius Peppers, he didn't even respond.
What's the dead silence? What's the worst? Have you got anybody hang up?
No, but I kind of hope we do.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see you guys working hard.
Yeah.
It's Adam Hoagie on the beat this weekend.
I will be on Saturday at some point.
Okay, good.
With the guys. Adam,
nice.
We haven't figured that out yet.
All right, good. Check your local listings. See you, buddy.
See you guys.
That's Adam Hoagie. This is 720 WGN.